Good afternoon. My name is Simon, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the SNC-Lavalin Fourth Quarter 2009 and 2009 Year-End Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Or, if you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Denis Chesmey, Vice President of Investor Relations. Please go ahead, Mr. Chesmey.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us. I trust that you have received a copy of the fourth quarter and year-end results, as well as the PowerPoint presentation to guide you through today's call. You can access both documents in the Investor Relations section of our website at snclavalin.com. During today's conference call, Pierre Duhem, President and Chief Executive Officer, will highlight the financial results and review the main events of the year, and Gilles Laramé, Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer, will review the company's financial performance in greater detail. Following their presentation, you will have an opportunity to ask questions. Before we begin, I would like to remind listeners that, as detailed on slide number 3, certain statements made in these presentations may be forward-looking. Such comments represent management's best judgment and expectation as of today's date, are subject to certain risks, uncertainties, and assumptions, and cannot be guaranteed. I would now like to turn the conference over to Pierre Duhem.
Thank you, Denis, and good afternoon, everyone, and happy to see you in great numbers to join us this afternoon. As you saw in our press release this morning, we achieved very good results for the years and the fourth quarters ending December 31st, 2009. Despite a slow economy, our net income for the years increased by 15%, surpassing our long-term financial objective. We did also increase our cash positions and maintain a strong revenue backlog. As detailed on slide number 4, our net income for the year was $359.4 million compared to $312.5 million at the year-end December 31st, 2008. This increase is mainly due to an overall increase in the gross margin to revenue ratio, primarily from the improved profitability from package activities, partially offset by a lower service gross margin to revenue ratio and the expected lower level of activities in packages. The main industry segment contributors to the increase in profitability in 2009 were powers and infrastructures and environment, partially offset by the chemical and petroleum and mining metallurgy. As anticipated, revenue decreased in 2009 to $6.1 billion, compared to $7.1 billion last year, mainly reflecting a decrease in the packages revenue category. As highlighted on slide number 5, the company balance sheet position remains solid, with cash and cash equivalent of $1.2 billion at December 31st, 2009. And our revenue backlog increased to $10.8 billion with strong service and package backlog at $1.5 billion and $4.2 billion respectively. We are committed to creating long-term value for our shareholders, and for the 12-month period ended December 31st, 2009, we deliver a substantial 27.3% return on average shareholders' equity, which our year-end stood at $1.4 billion. As you can see on slide number 6, we continue to acquire engineering company in 2009, adding approximately 1,200 people to our global workforce. SNC-Lavalin's strategy is to steadily build on its expertise and expand its leadership through internal growth and strategic acquisition. Over the year, we have expanded across several different sectors and virtually all regions, which make us less vulnerable to fluctuation in any one sector or region. Slide number 7 shows the major developments in our infrastructure's concession investment during 2009. We are currently designing and building a new concert hall in Montreal, which we will operate and maintain for 29 years upon completion. Astoria 2, of which we own 18.5%, obtained over $1 billion U.S. in project financing in 2009, which is non-recourse to SNC-Lavalin. We also completed the Ajret and Nus power plant in Algeria and the Karada Line mass transit system during the year, and will now operate and maintain them. The Karada Line capacity was well tested and certainly deserved a gold medal during the 2010 Winter Olympic Games, when it welcomed up to 300,000 passengers per day compared to its regular use capacity of 100,000 passengers per day. We will continue investing in infrastructures that include design, build and operations and maintenance work, and that fall into our area of expertise. We also initiated discussions to sell certain master investments that no longer require design and build work. Slide 8 highlights our three key financial objectives. The company continuously strives to create value for its shareholders by regularly evaluating its overall performance using three financial indicators: net income growth, return on shareholders' equity, and net cash positions. In 2009, as in 2008, all three financial objectives were exceeded. Now, turning on slide 9. The slide highlights our diversity by category of activities and industry segment. It also illustrates our global presence. The company geography and industry diversification is a key factor that has enabled us to sustain our growth and profitability over the year. Various economic factors impact SNC Lavalin as we deliver projects to clients in multiple industries. The infrastructure and environment and power sectors are typically driven by a country need and by industrial productions. The chemical and petroleum sectors is influenced by the price of oil, while the mining and metallurgy sector is affected by the commodity price. Driven by unprecedented international monetary and fiscal stimulus, world gross domestic product gradually recovers at the end of 2009. We believe the economy is on a recovery path and that the worst is behind us. We also believe that the price of oil and commodity price will stabilize in 2010, restarting the economy of resource-rich country. This bodes well for a natural resources-based division, and we expect it will increase the demand for infrastructures and power projects as well. We also believe that green technology is a booming field, and we are ideally suited to it. We see great opportunities in biomass, solar, and geothermal power, lead building, carbon capture and sequestrations, and greenhouse gas reductions, to name just a few. We are currently providing the engineering and construction consultations for a concentrated solar tower project in Spain, which involves molten salt technology that will provide improved solar conditions, efficiency, and solar energy storage. We have also just been awarded an engineering procurement and construction contract for a carbon capture and sequestration demonstration project in Saskatchewan, Canada. We also expect more public-private partnership contracts to be tendered, especially in Canada, where federal and provincial governments are refurbishing their aging infrastructures and developing new infrastructures, and are turning to the private sector for financing. Ontario is leading the charge in Canada with more than $90 billion in projects over the next 10 years. This is also true for other provinces like British Columbia, Quebec, New Brunswick, and Alberta. Brazil, Russia, India continue to be a focus for us. We are already the largest foreign engineering construction presence in Brazil and also in Russia, and one of the largest in India. Early in 2010, we created an engineering company in Russia with one of the Russia leading financial institutions. And in India, the number of permanent employees in our four offices has grown substantially in the last 5 years. Now turning to slide 10. As mentioned earlier, the company had a very good year in 2009, attaining an annual net income growth of 15%, which surpassed a long-term financial objective of an annual net income growth of between 7 and 12%. Due to its strong revenue backlog and numerous diverse prospects in Canada and outside of Canada, the company expects its 2010 net income to be as high or higher than 2009. As you can see on slide number 11, given the positive outlook, the company's strong revenue backlog, the board of directors has increased the quarterly cash dividends by 13% to 17 cents a share. In conclusion, we are pleased with what we have accomplished in 2009. We increased our net income and cash positions and maintained a strong revenue backlog. We also made investment in acquisitions that have expanded our market share and moved our business strategy forward. I will now turn the conference over to Jérémy for a review of the financial results.
Thank you, Pierre. Good afternoon. We turn to the net income details, slide number 13. We can see that for the quarter, the net income increased by 32%, which brought our overall net income to an increase of 15%. After 9 months, we had an increase of 10%. The net income, excluding ICI, also increased from $61 million to $76 million for 24% in the fourth quarter. So we definitively had a very strong fourth quarter this time. On page 14, the consolidated income statement, we can see that the revenue in the quarter were down from $1.9 billion to $1.6 billion, mainly due to the packages revenue and the services revenue. And as we had expected, the packages revenue were expected to go down and certainly explained in large part for the overall revenue reduction in 2009. Despite a lower revenue in the fourth quarter, our gross margin remained higher than 2008, and mainly because of the performance of our packages activities, whereby the gross margin to revenue ratio was much higher than in the fourth quarter of 2008. The SG&A, selling, general, and administrative expenses, were slightly lower in the fourth quarter. However, on a year-to-year basis, increased by 6%. And a large portion of that 6% relates to higher proposal costs that we did in 2009 compared to last year. The interest and capital taxes from infrastructure this quarter increased from $22.5 million to $32.2, mainly due to the inflation index bonds of Highway 407 that had an impact, and secondly, the debenture we issued in July of 2009, and that was not there in 2008. And consequently, those two reasons are mainly the two reasons why we have seen the increase on a year-to-date basis from $108 million to $110. However, it permitted to be not as high as it in the fourth quarter in terms of increase as there was in the first 9 months interest revenue on the Astoria 2 concession project. Turning to slide number 15, reflects the activities in Canada and outside Canada. If you can see that the overall revenue, 52% of our activities are in Canada and 47% outside Canada. However, if you take only the services and packages activities, you can see that 37% is in Canada and 63% outside Canada, which both are comparable with 2008. Turning to slide number 16, highlights the level of gross margin over revenue for each of our activities. You can see that the services would be at 25%, much lower than the 29.4% we accomplished in 2008, and it was the lowest level we did achieve over the last 5 years. And this reason is mainly explained because of lower profitability on certain major projects. We are foreseeing that 2010, the level of gross margin over revenue for services will go back to a higher level than the 25% that you've seen on this slide. The packages, on the other hand, went from a 4% to a 16%. And you can see also the overall contribution of the packages to the gross margin of $357 million, much higher than the 2008 level. This percentage was expected to go higher, but certainly was higher than our historical level of 7 to 10, and mainly due to favorable cost reforecast on certain projects that were nearing completion or completed in 2009, and certain approved change order for which the company had already reflected the cost. So 16% has been a spectacular performance, certainly in a circumstances whereby many of projects were being completed is more something that some could expect higher level, but certainly 16% was a high level. And what we are stating for 2010, that 16 were not anticipating to be at that level, but more to be at the upper end of our historical range of 7 to 10%. One other thing to comment about that 16% is you may remember we had difficult projects, in particular in the thermal power business, such as Goreway, which was the big one. And as we had told you before, difficult projects has really been very reduced to a very minimum amount, and that permitted a strong performance like the 16%. Operation and maintenance, 3.9% performance, similar to 2008, and same thing for the IC, infrastructure concession investment, at 47.6. Turning to slide number 17, the revenue operating income by segment, infrastructure and environment, we can see that the performance as we had reflected over the first 9 months was very good in that segment, with a contribution of $213 million of operating income over the full year, and reflecting a 13% of operating income over revenue, which is very good and above, let's say, the path that we encountered for infrastructure and environment. Power had contributed a positive contribution of $88 million compared to a negative contribution of $24 million in 2008, mainly due to the fact in 2008 the additional loss we had to recognize on the Goreway project. So in 2009, that project was not present and therefore had a very good contribution for the power segment. Chemical and petroleum, we were expecting lower activities, for which we did have. However, we had an unfavorable cost forecast on one of our projects, which really had an impact of having only a $21 million operating income over a revenue of $829. In the last quarter, in the fourth quarter, it was a good quarter in terms of profitability for the chemical and petroleum, for which we obtained approved change order on the project. We had certain difficulty and therefore contributed favorably to the performance in the fourth quarter. Mining energy, it was expected we had a lower level of activities, so from 859 to 765, and we had a lower gross margin on the revenue, in particular on the service activities, which dropped the operating income to $72.2 million. In the fourth quarter also, the performance of the M&M, Mining Metallurgy Group, has been lower than expected in terms of percentage, mainly due to one business unit that had lower performance in its operation. Other industry was lower from $47 million in 2008 to $41 million. Operation and maintenance, as we had expected, had a better contribution, and the ICI was at $37 million compared to $37 million in 2008. Turning to slide 18, the expectation that we are disclosing in our MD&A this year, and also the comparison with what we had disclosed in our 2008 MD&A. So when we look what we had disclosed and what we achieved in 2009, really the two sectors that we did not meet what we were saying has been the other industry, for which the operating income in 2008 was $47 million compared to 2009 of $41 million, mainly due to lower activities. We thought we would add higher activities. And with regards to the ICI, the reason for we were expecting that 209 would be higher, but we finally arrived with about the equivalent level, mainly due to the lower contribution from Highway 407. However, the operation of 407 went well with an increase of 2.5% in the revenue despite the economy and an increase of 12% in the earnings before interest and taxes. Really, the impact of lower contribution of Highway 407 has been from an income tax benefit that we recorded in 2008, and much higher than 2009. And also, like I mentioned before, the inflation index bond had a negative impact in 2009 compared to what it had in 2008. With regards to the expectation for 2010, we are seeing the infrastructure and environment being lower because mainly of the profitability, like I mentioned before, at 13%, we don't believe we'll be able to sustain that. However, in part will be offset by the fact that we are estimating, we are expecting to have higher activities. The power sector, we think that's going to be lower, mainly because of lower activities. However, with the signing of new project we just recently announced, we could have a surprise on that front, but at this stage we do not want to set that necessarily, but there is potential upside to that down arrow. The chemical and petroleum, we are expecting to be much higher, mainly because of better profitability and also higher activities. Mining metallurgy, we think we will be about the same level, and this is to offset. We think the revenue will be lower, but the gross margin to revenue will be higher, so one offsetting the other. Other industries should be in line. The operation and maintenance should be higher because of more profitability, and the ICI, we think it should be higher because of the performance of Highway 407, AltaLink, and our Algerian investment, which will be running for a full year of operation. The thermal power plant that was completed in 2009 will be for 12 months of operation in 2010. So overall, we think that the total operating income will be higher. Turning to slide number 19, in terms of our balance sheet, we finished the year with $1.2 billion of cash, which is a very good position. Our other current asset has gone down mainly because of a reduction of the package activity, so we got less amount of receivable and work in progress. The property and equipment was higher, coming from $1.7 billion to $2.2 billion, mainly due to capital expenditure in AltaLink and also some reclass and revised estimate of for AltaLink. And as I mentioned before, our long-term debt recourse at 348, mainly the increase, mainly due to the July debenture issue we did this year. And our shareholders' equity, to notice, has gone up from $1.1 billion to $1.4 billion. Turning to slide number 20, our total net book value of total ICI it has increased from $548 million to $720 million. The $720 million has been impacted by $60 million negative value of Highway 407. And as you will see in a later slide, upon the arrival of IFRS in 2011, that $60 million, we will not record a negative value for Highway 407. Increase in the net book value of ICI for equity that are accounted for equity method is mainly at Astoria 2 and also at Jarrett, which we had invested more money there. Turning to slide number 21, our cash, free old cash, stand now at $800 million and increase compared to the previous year. Our retained shareholders' equity now stands at 27%, and certainly we've been able to maintain the 27% despite the fact that we have $1.2 billion of cash that has earned in 2009 about 0.55% of yield. But as you all know, we like to see our balance sheet to be conservatively managed, but moreover, also available to make either a business acquisition or concession investment. Slide number 22 highlights our backlog at $10.8 billion compared to $10.2 billion and $9.6 billion in December 2008 and $10.2 billion in September 2009. So really increasing more significantly in the packages activities at 4.2. We saw our services backlog diminishing in December compared to September and December. So at 1.465 compared to September at 1570. So certainly this is an area that we would like to carry on to maintain to a higher level. The rest of it is really no real comments to add on that. Page 23, two aspects to highlight: the chemical and petroleum much better backlog, and certainly that bodes well for 2009, like I was mentioning, to have a better performance for chemical and petroleum. And mining metallurgy, as I mentioned in our 2010 expectation, lower activities but higher profitability. Turning to slide number 24, you will see a more elaborate information on the impact of IFRS, but we wanted in our annual financial statement and MD&A. However, we extracted two elements that are good to bring to your attention. Is really the accounting of joint venture. So under IFRS, we'll be permitted to have an equity accounting, and therefore with the Highway 407 that we are doing proportionate consolidation, will be going on an equity accounting, which, as I mentioned, we won't have the $60 million negative value as we do have, and we'll remove our proportionate share of debt and property and equipment and all other assets and liability that relates to Highway 407. Also, the service concession arrangement, there's new norm coming under the international model, and which are under two models, the intangible asset model and the financial asset model, or a combination of, and the impact will not be in changing the overall recognition of profitability of those concessions, but the timing of those. So we will review in more detail, and mainly the concession that will be affected by that for our evaluation are the Montreal Symphonic Hall, the Canada Line, or in Transit BC, the Malta International Airport, the Okanagan Lake Bridge, and also TC Dome project. Turning to slide number 25, we are showing a peer group comparison showing the last 12 months' performance in terms of growth. SNC-Lavalin, as I mentioned before, we saw 15% growth, and certainly our peer that we are tracking have been having a lower performance but for URS. And with regards to the return on shareholders' equity, we are at the top or nearby the top, and certainly our PE stands at 15 times in comparison with the others, which can vary from 7.6 up to 44 times. One thing to mention: in the past, in doing our PE ratio, we were doing an evaluation of Highway 407 based on transactions that Cintra and Macquarie had. But today, with the Macquarie splitting in two and having Intel on the stock market, that Intel just have two investments, being Highway 407 and M7, it's more easier to get a fair market value that is based on the market price, and we estimate to be $8 per SNC-Lavalin share price. This concludes my part of the presentation. Thank you.
Well, we are now ready for questions.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone that in order to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Claude Brou with BMO Capital Markets. Your line is open.
Thank you. Just quickly on your guidance, I mean, you know, if we were to exclude the infrastructure concession, which are difficult to forecast, are quite volatile, especially because of Highway 407 and the real return bond, which, you know, end up can be all over the map. Is it fair to expect, or what kind of growth could we expect from the just the engineering business?
As we said, the overall operating income, we're foreseeing that for sure that it's going to increase. If we set aside the ICI, we said that the overall profit in our MD&A and also our public press release, that we are foreseeing our net income to be as high, if not higher, in 2009 and 2010 compared to 2009. So we had a very good year. At this stage, we don't want to commit necessarily to say to our long-term objective of 7 to 12. It's a bit early with such a great performance we had in 2009, but at least what we're stating is that 2010 should be as good as 2009, if not higher. So we are playing it a bit of prudence, and we'll keep you updated after our performance and the what will happen in the first and maybe second quarter. But as we speak right now, we cannot say much more than what we publicly quoted in our document and in our press release.
Yeah. Second question, I mean, if I go back like 7, 8, 9 years ago, the message on packages at the time was that you could get a gross margin between 10 and 15, and then when you acquired NEPCO and moved into natural gas fired, that number went down because, you know, there was a pass-through cost of buying the turbine on which obviously not you wouldn't make much money. And then we went below more like 7 to 10. Is it possible that since you're no more really in the fixed-price natural gas power business that you could go back to that 10 to 15?
Well, I will answer that one, Claude. It's 10 to 15 is always a high number. You're right by mentioning about the flow through of the turbine, but 15% would be a high number. We prefer to maintain, you know, the 7 to 10%, and certainly if we are lucky and if we have a good contract and we deliver correctly, we will probably go over that. But as a guidance to give you much higher than that, it would be unprudent at this point of time.
And however, for 2010, what we're stating is that we are looking to be to the upper end of that range. And certainly over the last years, we have increased our quality of our package backlog, and certainly it looks good, like Pierre mentioned.
And lastly, a quick one. The carbon capture project that you got, I mean, you're saying it's like a showcase project, but at the same time, from what I've read in the Saskatchewan Power website, it looks like it's something that's very large, but you're not doing everything. Can you give an idea of the size of that work that you're doing?
Well, we are not doing everything, but we are doing everything in the carbon captures. There is modifications to be done at the boiler itself, at the generation units. This we are not doing it, but all the sequestrations and separation of the CO2 with the rest, we are doing that part. So it's quite a big package. In fact, it's the biggest package of all.
Is that like 200 million, 500 million?
You see, we have not disclosed the number because the customer at this point of time is still in negotiations with different players. One is the guy who is going to buy, you know, the CO2. So he doesn't want to push too much on the number, but it's more than two.
You mean more than 200 million?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Joe.
Your next question comes from the line of Paul Lechem with CIBC. Your line is open.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Paul.
Just wondering, you've seen a number of the large projects that you've been bidding on. They've been delayed for various reasons, not your fault, but they've been delayed. I was just wondering, is that something that you see happening in a lot at the large end of the industry? Are these delays sort of normal business for you, or is there something happening in the markets right now which are causing these projects to be delayed more than usual?
Well, I don't know if you refer to a private project or the government project, Paul. But let me say in the commodity, which is oil and gas and mining and metals, 2009 has seen many delays. We were lucky; we didn't have any cancellations and on booking, but there was many delays. I must say right now the trend is reversing. Many and I will talk about our customers Vale in Brazil have done very little in 2009. Now they want to resume and go much faster in 2010. So already in that regard we see much better. In the oil and gas we also see some resurrections. Of course the tar sands and the oil sands in Alberta is one sector we see more activities, and we think 2010 we'll see more new announcements, and it's the same all over the place. So we see better 2010 in terms of activities and less delays in projects. Regarding the infrastructures, there is quite a good push right now. There is many projects we are bidding, and we are being successful to a point, and we have more to announce, and that's going also in the right direction, I would say.
Is it possible for you to give us any update on the Hassi Messaoud town in Algeria?
Hassi Messaoud, we know Algeria has some issue right now, and Sonatrach is another piece of it, and Hassi Messaoud is related to the Sonatrach as well. But we are very close to the, everything has been passed. There was a Conseil des Ministres, if I may say that way, yesterday, and that was supposed to be the final things. We are still waiting for the news on that one, but it's still there. It's still coming. Just like you said, this one is really a delay, but it's delay for many reasons. I think the politics in Nigeria is always difficult.
Okay, thank you. And just one more, if I may sneak it in, Jules, can you give us any guidance on the tax rate we should look at in 2010?
I think you should be looking to be in line with what we've been encountering in 2009.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Michael Tuffholm with TD Newcrest. Your line is open.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Just a question on the mining and metallurgy segment. You indicated that you had one business unit in the quarter that had lower performance. Wondering if there's any further elaboration you can provide on that, and specifically whether or not you expect that to continue on at all into the next quarter or beyond.
No, I don't think it will carry on. It's again, we have some good and performance at one point for some certain business units having more activities and other having less. But I don't think it is reflective of the year of 2010. I think, like I've mentioned, mining metallurgy were foreseeing to be about the same level in 2009. So I don't think you could draw up to say that is a tendency that will occur in 2010. Not at all.
Okay. And then you mentioned that revenues in that segment are likely to be down, but the offset's going to be better margins. And I noticed backlog in that segment's down as well, which I found a little surprising given we've had some commentary from industry players recently about increased CapEx levels. And just wondering if while you're looking for revenues to be down, is this something where we can expect over the course of the year to see improvement, and is generally the outlook looking more favorable, but you're starting from a low point?
So, again, it's based on what we do have on hand, and certainly it would be presumptuous from us when we see our backlog be down, I think, about on the service side, I think we're more than 20% lower, and to consider that will be higher level of revenue. So, however, and Pierre will add color to that, we are still very bullish on saying we think the market is good and we should come back with a good signing of project. But at this stage, it's premature to say we're foreseeing to be equal or higher in terms of revenue.
Well, it's all related to the fact that we have a lower backlog at the end of 2009. And based on that, we cannot say we'll see a big increase. But the situation is changing right now, and we have good news to have in 2010 regarding M&M. So, but it's not there yet. So we expect better. But at this point of time, based on the information we have, we feel it's the right thing to say. By the way, we're not saying the revenue will be lower, but they're not going to be higher, and we are not expecting to be lower than 2009 in terms of revenue. But at this point of time, we're saying we'd be as good as that.
Okay, now that's helpful color. Next question, on the backlog, you saw a mixed shift this quarter away from services towards packages, which I think probably shouldn't come as a surprise given some of the large contract wins in the fourth quarter. But just wondering what you see happening with the services versus packages backlog mix going forward, and if you can comment on some of the factors that are driving that.
Well, I would say we still believe, services is really the business we prefer. But services backlog is very influenced by large projects. And what happened in 2009 is we have been, completing, close completion of major jobs like Qatalum in Qatar, like Emal in Abu Dhabi, like Ambatuvi in Madagascar, and also some delay in job in Brazil. And all these jobs are services. And to replace them, take a hell of a work and big jobs. So we are waiting for the multi-billion dollars job to come back. And so we can book, major number in services. Because services, small job at $50 million a time, it doesn't make big difference in the backlog. But, we are looking for the big job. And still, they have not been announced yet, these big jobs.
But you think there's good potential? It's just a matter of...
Yeah, they are there. It's, I said also before, in other quarters, aluminum has been, quite slow. And aluminum will come back. But will not come back early in 2010. They will come back probably end of 2010. Nickels, I don't see anything right now going in nickels. So M&M side, and the two big guys in services is M&M and oil and gas. So M&M will suddenly improve it, but not that big. It will be some improvement, but not that big. Oil and gas, it's still to be seen.
Okay, thanks. And then just lastly, I wonder if I can get your thoughts on a potential acquisition thoughts for the coming year, areas of interest. You made a number last year. I wonder if you can just talk about that for the coming year.
Yeah, we did try quite hard, and I think that we have done a lot of work on major acquisitions. Unfortunately, the price didn't come at the level we were expecting. Price still high. I don't know. I mean, I'm hoping, the price will come down. 2010 may be a better time. I don't know. We're still watching. We're still working on many of them. But we will not pay what we don't think, it will bring, value to the shareholders. So we are very cautious.
Just on that last point, have you seen any improvement, or is it still very much the way it would have been in 2009?
Right now, I have not seen improvement.
Okay.
I mean, it's still too expensive.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Sarah O'Brien with RBC Capital Markets. Your line is open.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Pierre, can you comment just on packages, the margin? You said you'd be, I guess, as you said, upper end of the range of 7 to 10%. But now that you're sort of more focused on risk mitigation, and I think it looks like your backlog is in good shape, could you be beyond the 10% range? Is that sort of a new objective for SNC-Lavalin?
Well, it will be nice to say that, but I would not like to say that to my customer. So I would like to say, 10% is a good number, and it's a good thing. If we are, like I say, if we work hard, we do improve our things, suddenly it will be better. But in packages, 10% is quite a good margin.
Okay, great. And just in the mining segment, I just wondered if the light margin had anything to do with Ambitovi and how you're feeling on sort of project completion costs going into the 2010 for that project.
Well, Ambitovi it's divided in two. There is one is the EPCM, which is the service factors, and the other one is the investment, which we are also investing in the project. So regarding the EPCM thing, the thing is still going on. Of course, you know, it's a little bit longer than anticipated, cost more money than anticipated. On the other hand, you know, we are having more revenue than anticipated on the EPCM as well. The margin goes down, you know, when you overrun, you know, your budget, normally the margin goes down slightly. That's the case on Ambitovi, but that's also be the case on other projects like AMAL, for instance. So that's why, you know, we have seen a reduction on these, on the margin there. But nothing, we're not here, you know, to lose money. It's just, you know, the margin gets a bit thinner.
Okay, is that the main cause in Q4?
Q4, there was another business unit that had, you know, a challenge. And that other business unit has been creating the main cause of it.
Okay, but again, going forward on Ambitovi, you would not expect that margin to be crimped down anymore?
No. I mean, we will continue, and but again, you know, I mean, margin crimped down. The business is the following. You know, we do better margins for engineering services in office, and we do lower margins on construction services at site. So normally on a project, when you start, you know, your margin for the engineering services is bigger and higher. And then when you move to the site, you have lower margins because you don't provide offices, you don't provide the same system, you don't provide the same support. So that's also, you know, typical on project. You know, the life is normal with the life of a project. You know, margin goes down as you go toward the end.
Okay, great. And then just on the SG&A, maybe utilization rates. I mean, are you expecting? You're talking about some of these project delays. Are you adjusting people accordingly, your numbers, or like how do you expect your utilization rates to play out into in your SG&A as a percentage of sales into 2010?
I think we had a pretty good utilization rate in 2009. One area that was difficult, it was the oil and gas, in particular in Alberta. But the rest of the company, and reflective of a company that increased its profitability by 15%, has been very good, and we're foreseeing to continue to be good and having even the activities in Alberta better and therefore having a better utilization rate in Alberta. So overall, we are foreseeing to carry on having a good utilization factor.
Okay, great. And maybe just one last one on the acquisitions, just following the last question. Some of your competitors have commented about it's a little more competitive in terms of margins on the oil and gas side going into 2010, but we're seeing activity pick up, and I just wondered what your outlook seems to be quite positive. Just wondered what you're expecting in terms of margins in that for next year.
Well, there is again two sectors, which is the service side and the package side. On the service side, competition is there, and there is a tight competition, but we try, you know, in our case, we try to go in market where there is less competition. Alberta is certainly highly competitive, but Saudi Arabia and Middle East and North Africa, there is better situation for competition there. So we try to balance the two. On packages, these we always be careful. You know, we will not bid if we don't have the right margin. So. If we, you know, we are selected in bidding on packages, in fact.
To add to what Pierre's saying, Sarah, having a 3% operating income over revenue and having a $21 million operating income, for sure, you know, we think to be much better than that. And it's a bit of a similar situation we had with power last year when we were making $24 million negative, that we would be better. And this year we're just saying we can just be better than 209.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you. Thanks, Sarah.
Your next question comes from the line of Frédéric Bastien with Raymond James. Your line is open.
Good afternoon. I guess last summer you were selected as a preferred proponent on the BC Power project in Oneida, and I guess this project ran into some difficulties in terms of getting all the financing in place. Can you give us a sense as to where this project is right now and whether they're still looking at SNC-Lavalin to help them out with that?
Yeah, I think it's the thing is getting better on that one. It's we saw the BC government and BC Hydro said, you know, we want to go more and more on hydropower and renewable energy, so they are certainly focusing on that. They have done a deal with the tech on the trail on their share of tech on the Juanita. And they are certainly much more optimistic now than they were before on this project. We're still working. We are providing services to them to advance the project. Certainly not on the construction phase, but on the engineering side. So we are still there, and we have been selected, and that's what continues. So it's just a question is put the financing in place. But I feel it's a better situation now than it was, you know, let's say 6 months ago.
Okay, thanks, Ed. With respect to Russia, do you see any potential opportunities with the 2014 Olympics coming there?
Well, I was lucky to be at the Olympic game in Vancouver, and one of the reasons I was there is because we have a strong delegation from Russia. And to see the things the way they are, it's Russia has a huge, you know, challenge in front of them. They are not early in the game; they are late. And they were in Vancouver, and they were having their eyes, you know, open all around. All the things they can benefit from the success of Vancouver. So certainly we will be making a move. But Russia is Russia, and Russia has always been a market which is difficult to penetrate and capture. But certainly we have with the Vet Bank, which is the key sponsors and key financiers of the Olympics. With our presence there, we already work with them. Hopefully, you know, we'll increase our potential there.
Okay, thanks. Lastly, I was just wondering if that JV contract that you won from Agrium, is that included in your backlog?
Not the full amount, because when we disclosed it, we said, you know, we'll go by phase. It's a bit, it's a project where we Agrium is not, you know, launching full blast, so. So we are certainly recognizing, I don't know how much, but we're recognizing the service portion right now. We have not been recognizing the construction portion.
Is that in the mining segment?
Sorry?
Would that be in the mining segment then?
It would be in the mining, yes.
Okay, thank you. Great quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Pierre Lacroix with Desjardins. Your line is open.
Yeah, thanks very much. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Pierre.
On the guidance side, I just want to confirm something with you. You have two segments that are going down, including the infrastructure and the environment, which is the biggest one. You mentioned that power is going down, but there's good likelihood there. And the three others, there's one chemicals and petroleum down, and the two others are flat. So would it be a good assumption to assume that chemicals and petroleum, the upside you have there, would be enough to offset the decline in the two others and maybe ultimately seeing that the chemicals and petroleum providing upside to ENC revenues in 2010?
I think it's not a false assumption. I think it could make sense. Certainly, however, you cannot neglect that the operation maintenance is looking better also. So, but you are right to say the biggest increase will come from chemical and petroleum, and which will offset and if not surpass the infrastructure and power reduction.
Okay, thanks, Jill. Just a couple of contracts, potential contracts question on Libya. Any potential with the Great Mind Made River? You've been active in the past, and there's outstanding bids out there. So, anything we could expect for 2010 on this side?
Well, I must say, you know, we are very involved in Libya. We are still working on this on these Made Man rivers, if you can call that way. We are fabricating a lot of pipe for the pipeline there. So yes, it's ongoing, and there will be more to come. It has been like that for the last almost 10 years now.
Okay, but it seems that over the last 5-6 years, it's been constant business flow. Any kind of a big announcement that could happen, or it's going to continue to be relatively constant?
I think it will be constant. You know, we have been winning a new job, but I think we will be a renew also contract for the fabrication of the pipe eventually. That's like I say, it's a good business. It's quite steady, but I don't expect major boom in that sector. But it will be constant.
Okay, and on the McGill front, we know that you're fine-tuning the proposal, considering your options. Do you feel that you may get to a point where economics are no longer making sense for Sensio?
Yeah, you. First of all, I like the way you describe what we are doing right now, trying to fine-tune the bids. But one thing is sure is we fine-tune the bids on the cost side. We are not fine-tuning the bids on the profit side. Profit is fixed, and that will not change. That was, a very strict, indication we have been given. It's not because we are going to cut, on the size of the hospitals or the service of the hospitals that we are going to cut on the profit.
Okay, that's fair. And just one last on potential contract. You've been working on the Toronto Airport Downtown Link. Anything new there that you can share?
Well, I mean, we have been in negotiations with IO, Infrastructure Ontario, for quite a long time now. We are close to have a deal, but it's not yet done.
Okay, thank you very much. Have a good weekend, Anger.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Your next question comes from the line of Benoit Caron from National Bank Financial. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Just briefly here, a couple questions about fine-tuning the model going forward. I was wondering, first of all, with the XL Energy contract that you got in January, this is all about boiler replacement. And I was wondering how competitive SNC is relative to Bechtel in this business. And, the second part of the question was bidding on that contract very competitive, or is this enough? Is there enough of these contracts coming through that it would accommodate all of the nuclear-related guys in the U.S.?
Well, it's first of all, Bechtel has been in that sector, but they are not the only one. There is others as well. But really, what we did bring there is the success and the expertise we gained on Bruce Power. And the way we did on Bruce Power, it was such, an innovative way that we were able to fabricate all the piece outside of the site. And when we did bring it at the site, we just dropped it there. There was very little in-place work done. And that has impressed a lot of people in the industry. So what we did, we were asked by Excel to do the study for them regarding that replacement of the boilers. And following the study, they asked us to bid. And we all appreciate the fact that it's the first time we are doing that in the state. But that technical advantage and the way we are doing it has been the key for us to win the job. And that will be repeated on another job as well.
Oh, well, I just mentioned Bechtel because they got a very, very solid reputation in boiler replacement. That's the reason why.
I understand, but, it's a name.
Yeah, exactly. So it's pretty good if you were able to get that technological knowledge from the Bruce Power and transfer that. The other thing is about the LNG 16 conference going on in Oran about a month and a half from now. Do you think that could actually spur an acceleration of, capital spending in Algeria following this?
You're talking about the LNG?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. LNG in Algeria. We are working on the revamping or the reconstruction of Tigda. Right now, there is pipeline between Algeria and Europe, and there could be more. So the job we are doing in Rundus is a gas project, and that gas will not go to LNG, it will go through pipeline, and it will go through Gibraltar and elsewhere to reach Europe. So Algeria, LNG, it's not where I see the big growth.
Okay. And the other thing is about, expansion in India. It's just got, looking at the Reliance Infrastructure project for the Mumbai Metro line, the second one there. Should we expect that to be added in the backlog maybe in late 2010, or is that more like a 2011 story?
Well, first of all, you know, we have been this job with Reliance. You know, we have been there to help Reliance to win the job because alone they were not qualified.
Yep.
So the portions, it's a big job, but the portions we have there is very limited. And the risk we have there is also limited. It's a good margin, good business, but it's not a huge backlog.
Okay, but that could be the kind of flagship project that could entail more similar work down the road or maybe with the a greater piece of the pie?
Yeah, exactly. And also it give us, right now it give us, you know, also the experience in India. So that will be a way to penetrate the Indian market.
Good. Well, that's all I had. Excellent year when everybody's actually going lower for, getting lower for 2010. You guys are holding up pretty well.
Yeah, thank you very much. That's why, you know, we have as high or higher, and I think, you know, already starting at that level is a very good level to start.
Well, that's refreshing news. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Richard Stoneman with Dundee Securities. Your line is open.
Yes, good afternoon, Pierre.
Good afternoon, Pierre. Richard.
Is the MD&A available as yet? I haven't been able to find it.
No, not yet. We just have our board of directors. Usually we get our approval before making it available, and in case there's changes, but it should be available within the next 2 weeks.
Okay, thank you. And Goreway, is that completely closed off, Scythe Energy settled, and that's behind?
Goreway is all behind us. It's we have also finished the last settlement. There is no other things. The only things may be there is we may have a claim against Ontario Hydro, but that's nothing to it's us to looking for more money, but doesn't have any impact on Norway.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Richard.
There are no further questions at this time. Mr. Chesme, I turn the call back over to you.
Well, thank you, everyone, for participating in today's conference call. We hope you'll join us for the next quarter conference call. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.